Hello, my name is Jason Reichel, and you're listening to Risk Management Brick by Brick. I'm fascinated with people who are helping build and maintain the physical world around us. On each episode of this podcast, we'll dive in with a risk manager, speak to them about how technology plays a role in this process. Welcome to Brick by Brick. I'm Jason Reichel with Brad Hebert. Hey, Brad, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, Jason.
We like to get started with a hypothetical. If you or someone in your family was going to give you a risk score as a person, what would you be? Would you be risky? Would you be squeaky clean? What's Brad's risk score?
From 10 being risky to 1 being squeaky clean, I'm probably about a 3. I'm pretty conservative. We have an infrastructure at my home network and everything's pretty locked down. So yeah, I've been in the security space for quite some time now. So I try to keep things pretty clean here.
Let's quickly, for the listeners at home, go through sort of your background and how you ended up where you're at right now.
I kind of came up through the technical side. I did my undergrad in business and computer science. I kind of got into the development side of things, then went back to school, later on did my MBA, and then switched over to the vendor side where we're creating products to help companies. I love getting in, seeing how different companies operate in different industries and what the challenges are, and then trying to apply some technology to solve those problems. So I've been doing that for the last 20, 25 years now.
That's music to my ears. The majority of people listening to the podcast are risk managers, right? A variety of industries, primarily focused on the built world. It's always very interesting to have a guest who's been in the space for a long time and is working on technology to help de-risk businesses. So let's start with, I think the question my audience would have is, what in 2024 are some of the biggest risks that you're focused on and that you think organizations should pay attention to?
So when I came up for a number of different places. The last place we were at, we were focused on a more internal risks around vulnerability management and perimeter scanning. And we did a lot of privilege access management. So helping a lot of companies and CISOs work with the risks team on minimizing those threats about the infrastructure that you manage. And what we found then was that many of the companies we were working with, they didn't have any visibility or exposure or insights to the third parties that they were doing business with. So I came over here in 2019 to kind of go after that challenge. Like, how are you assured that all your partners, your third-party partners, that's vendors and suppliers and contractors, joint venture partners and those sorts of guys, are putting the right level of diligence and oversight to protect the data, the systems, and the people that you and your internal teams are doing? So for us, this is a market that we're seeing heating up. If you take a look at the last few years, the number of software supply chains that have been sort of the avenue or the on-ramp, I guess, for a lot of these attackers has been on the increase. And this is certainly something that we're trying to promote and be vocal about, that people really need to get a handle on this. It is the soft underbelly for many organizations that are allowing these threats to be successful.
So when we talk about the risk that third parties pose working with you in your business, what's the right way to break down and think about the different threats or the different areas that a third-party risk management program is built out of? A lot of people have different philosophies. A lot of people in this industry got to this position moving through an organization, right? And they don't have really a lot of formal training, maybe in risk mitigation and other things like that. So how do you think about what risk is? Where should they be looking? What are the key areas that you've honed in on?
It's a great question. I think it's not a one size fits all. So I think, like many risk programs, you want to understand, you know, what are the most impactful risks and prioritize those to the top. So for us, our clients are still dealing with the third-party programs where they're trying to manage it with manual spreadsheets and these sorts of things. And when we say, well, what third parties are you working with? Well, they don't know. Okay, well, let's start off by doing this. Let's inventory who you think are your most critical third parties that you do business with, or the ones that can have the biggest impact on the business. Let's understand what those relationships are like. Like, is there data being exchanged? Do they have access to your system? So what level of risk can that pose to your organization so you can prioritize those third parties and not try to focus on everybody at the same time, but focus on those high priority ones first? Then once you do that, you can profile and tier those third parties and figure out sort of what's the right size of diligence. So you can right size that diligence to apply to the third party based on that relationship and risk. If you try to treat every third party the same, and go through the soup to nuts of every question you could ask, it's just going to be too much data. It's going to be too much overhead. You're not going to be able to scale your program. It's going to come to a grinding halt.
And then you're not going to know also what areas you need to be focusing on because you haven't really prioritized anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, from a risk perspective, most companies started off really targeting the third-party programs at their vendors, right? And so from that perspective, you think about vendor risk. And we usually, our counterpart at a client site is typically through the security organization, because they're the ones that are typically tasked with you know, understand these security controls and things people have in place. So the risk team will ask the security team to go out and perform their, kind of do their thing, if you will, and do the assessments and scores and all those sorts of things, right? And so that typically focuses on security controls and privacy. And we still think that's probably where many, if you don't have a program today, that's probably where many people should start and could start. I think over the last number of years, you know, before COVID, as you expand those, as you mentioned, those kind of those dimensions of risk, we see a lot more people starting to harmonize with additional risk vectors in their program. They would add things like ESG, modern slavery, diversity. You know, those were kind of the pre-COVID things that were really heating up in the marketplace. And then all of a sudden COVID hit, and then you have a business resilience issue. So now they're starting to try to grow that program and harmonize across more teams to go after business resilience. Of course, this is driven by a lot of the new compliance mandates coming on board as well, like DORA, the German Supply Chain Act, and those sorts of things. So that's kind of how we've kind of seen the market grow over the last number of years. And this year, of course, you know, AI and AI threats are certainly on top of mind as well.
So I think that's really a dynamic thing. So you have your third-party relationships, what sensitive information is going back and forth, what procedures, policy. This is sort of what most people would think about vendor risk management. And then these three additional factors being the different risk factors, the different elements of programs that you could build business resilience and AI. We get a lot of people asking a lot of questions about the AI and about how it should be incorporated into a risk program. What kind of tooling are you bringing out or methods that you're applying to be able to successfully handle that kind of threat?
From our perspective, we do a third-party risk management survey every year. And this year, one of the questions was, you know, how are you looking to embrace AI in a third-party risk program? And we found that only about 5% of clients are actually using AI. Well, they think they're using AI today. I think many technologies, of course, use AI, anomaly detection and malware detection and all these sorts of things. But when people these days think about AI, they think about conversational AI and large language models and those sorts of things. And so about 5% kind of indicated that they're actively using it. I think about 63% indicated that they would consider using it and are looking at ways that they could use it. And then 25% said they're not going to even think about it because they don't even have an AI policy yet. It's too early for their organization. And one of the things we've been trying to do is understand the timing of when is AI going to start to really take off with our clients. But many of our clients, it's just block and tackle. They're just getting the programs off the ground. AI sounds great, but I just got to kind of get through a backlog of 50, 500, 5,000 vendors first and start looking at that AI. So what we are doing with AI, look, I think that AI can add an awful lot of tremendous value, whether it's in TPRM or other business areas. If you think about something simple, like if your program is relatively small and you're assessing 100 vendors, and you have 100 questions you're asking, you could have 10,000 responses coming back that someone has to analyze. In addition to all those answers, you could have documents, certification documents, safety documents, quality documents. So someone's got to go through all that stuff. Some of our customers, that's in different languages. And so AI can certainly play a part to helping you accelerate all that analysis and kind of remove the human element, if you will, from that process.
That's really interesting. So do you think about, a lot of times when we get questions around program risk management, around compliance, around things like, well, are we going to waive this piece of compliance? Does this have to happen? You know, those are all business decisions, right? Risk is part of doing business and you have to make rules and you have to accept the rules. But how do you help organizations expose the amount of risk that they've accepted within their organization? How is that done? And how do you recommend, or how have you seen successful businesses look at how much risk they're taking on?
I think there's two points to that. I think one is, you know, don't try to take on everything at the same time. Like if you're going to start with a team, you start with a certain type of risk. So cyber or privacy, kind of grow the program there, or start with a smaller business unit, look at their particular. Don't try to do the whole company for all risks, just, you know, and don't try to boil the ocean. So that's one thing that we look at. And then when we kind of kick the program off or the process off, so you onboard those vendors, you know, however many you want to include in the program, you have to start extracting information about those vendors. And there's a couple of different ways you can do that. One is sending out assessments and collecting evidence. Typical, right? You ask some questions and they start sending you back those questions. And so we can automate that whole process, which is sending them out, doing the chasing. I think what we automate, which I think is more important, is automating the analysis of that. And when we do the analysis, what we're doing is, you know, we're mapping the questions and responses back to control. So if somebody says, you know, I don't use multi-factor or whatever the question is, right? You have to map that back to something that means something to the business. And so what we do is, depending on how they answer those questions, we're automatically creating a risk. We've automatically mapped that risk to one or multiple different compliance mandates, like different controls within those compliance mandates. And then we're providing quantification around how big that risk is based on the response. And then we provide prescriptive guidance on what they should do about it. And so really it's a bottom-up approach. So if you ask all these questions, we're starting to look at all the risks, we're quantifying them, we're contextualizing, then we bubble that up at the vendor level, and then it could be at the business unit level, and then at the corporate level. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that systematic approach works really well as a framework. So often, I think organizations are afraid to really partner with their third parties, and they want to send out this large assessment to assess for everything and then not communicate to them for a year until they need to refresh that information. They're very, very worried about communication. But, you know, I think the bigger thing is, are you working in tandem with your partners to eliminate those by degree, right? Exactly what you said around how large is this risk? How much risk is this proposed to the relationship or to your policies? And then working your way down that tickler to eliminate all of those, because you're probably never going to get to everything. And that's not even the goal. I see a lot of people use vendor management software or risk assessment software or any of these kind of softwares. And they think that the goal is to get to 100% compliant in their tool or to have all the flags be green. And I always want to urge the listeners that part of the process is things are going to constantly be moving into the red or the danger zone. And that is what your job is to manage those as they're coming up and have a systematic approach and a program.
One of the trends that we are seeing is a few years ago, people thought about the third-party risk programs as a checkbox. You do your assessment, the responses have come in, and you would file the report. But that's just the starting point. You need to actually do something about the risks that are identified, which is going out and remediating those risks. And the challenge that a lot of teams have is when they try to do it manually or using unautomated processes, is they spend so much time collecting the evidence, they don't have the staff or the people to actually go out and do the remediation work, which is a challenge. So the more you can automate some of that front-end work and alleviate your team from opening up documents and scanning documents and stuff, the more time they can spend to that important stuff, which is kind of reaching out to the third parties, interacting with them, telling them in business terms and compliance terms why they have to fix these things, and actually taking those remediations to closure. So you can actually track your sort of your risk exposure dropping over time. And that's certainly something we're seeing more and more customers asking us, you know, try to push on this year.
Yeah, one thing that people keep talking about is velocity of closing down the risk, right? So we identified a risk and then it took us 2 weeks to close that down. So what's the velocity of how fast we can respond to risks that are being identified and then getting them closed down? And over time, are we improving that as a standard metric so that showing that your team on the risk side is actually getting better at mitigating these risks and closing them down faster?
The other thing, in addition to the remediation, is as you mentioned, you know, keeping that open dialogue with the third parties is important, just as is monitoring those third parties on an ongoing basis. So, you know, we found another trend that we've seen is that I think 60 to 70% of our clients, when they start a program, don't just do assessments. It includes document analysis and all that stuff, but they also include monitoring, where they're monitoring that third party for negative news. They're monitoring the deep web, dark web, doing all the cyber monitoring as well. So they get that 360-degree sort of full comprehensive risk profile of those third parties that's constantly being updated. Because you could do a scan today and you think you're fine, but something could happen tomorrow or next week with that third party that your team should be aware of. You can modify your behavior to reduce the impact of certain vectors of risk.
Thank you so much for going into that. I always appreciate when someone comes on with solid frameworks that people can put into practice tomorrow, because I know so many people are moving from, you know, their spreadsheets or disparate pieces of software into trying to build a program that they can do this in. And I think sometimes people just don't even know where to start. I'm going to ask you a game we like to play on the podcast called Risky or Too Risky. I'm going to give you three quick fire questions. You tell me risky or too risky. You ready? This is the part where everyone says they really get to know you. So let's see if it works here. Imagine, if you will, that you're driving into work, you have a cup of coffee and the lid is off. Is that risky or too risky?
That's probably risky, but I've got to admit that's probably stuff that I do more than I like to admit.
Stay or hit on 17 at a table of blackjack?
Stay.
This is the crazy one. They put it on here, but I think it's funny. You're planning to go bungee jumping and you didn't actually see the instructor checking your equipment. Risky or too risky to go on that bungee jump?
Yeah, I'd be in my car on my way home. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, too risky for me.
Too risky. I agree. I was like, I think everyone in the planet's going to say this is too risky. But I mean, you got to trust that they have systems, I guess. Last question of the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me for this 20 minutes. A piece of advice that you would give to your younger self or someone coming into the industry. I mean, dealing with risk, dealing with managed relationships, this business stuff. I don't think any of us started off saying this is what we were going to do for a profession. You know, it's something kind of you find your way to. So what's a piece of advice for someone coming into this profession or to your younger self?
When you take a look at something like risk management, it can be daunting, right? You take a look at all the different risks and, you know, as we just talked about, you can get right down this sort of the rat hole of cyber, or you can go, so it seems pretty daunting. And even third-party risk management, like, where do I start? And I always tell people kind of break it down into manageable chunks, something that you think you can get ahead of, and then prioritize those manageable chunks and just kind of work through them. Don't be a deer in the headlights and just you kind of work your way through it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Thank you so much, Brad. It was great having you. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
Great. Thanks, Chase.
Risk Management Brick by Brick is brought to you by TrustLayer. Find out how TrustLayer manages risk so that the people can build the physical world around us. Head over to TrustLayer.io. And then make sure to subscribe to Risk Management Brick by Brick on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. On behalf of the TrustLayer team, thank you for listening.